Okay, we will now convene the March 11, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. I'm now calling the meeting to order. I have reviewed the minutes of February 11, 2014 meeting and approved them for execution. Do you have any announcements before we proceed?
Yes, sir, Mr. McKelvey. There is one case that is in compliance that isn't reflected on the agenda. Case number 7, SMG031413 for 1500 South Atlantic Avenue. It's in compliance as of today. As far as I'm aware. Any other announcements?
Case number 7.
Yes.
Faye Plenaris?
Yes.
All right, well, those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided with your public truth and nothing but the truth?
The first case we have on this morning's agenda is 735 MacArthur Court, Michael Nagel. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Michael Israel Stephen Nagella.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am, I swear.
Jello, we are looking at an order. This is a case that goes back to June 26th, 2008. Outside storage, surfaces, electrical problems, property roof, drainage, plumbing, occupational license. Service on the property. Order of non-compliance, requiring to bring in compliance by February 4. Amended order allowing to April 2nd, 2009. Amended order imposing a fine. Okay, and now this fine has accumulated a sum of $14,000, if I'm not mistaken. So, let's send this one to John. That's really nothing.
Yes, sir. I was under the impression that the house was going under foreclosure and I had left the property in 2008.
Property?
Yes, sir.
2008?
Roughly 2008, maybe going into 2009. Somewhere around the time these fines were imposed.
Okay.
I believe they were going to foreclose the house, so I abandoned the property. And they just foreclosed it of summer last year, so all the years it wasn't, the foreclosure had not gone through that. The fines have been accumulating. I was unaware of any of these.
Who is foreclosing on you? Federal National Mortgage Association?
Yes, sir.
They got a certificate of title on September 20th, 2013. So is this your property or not?
No. Since 2008, I thought it wasn't my property. I thought they were foreclosing. That's why I left. It took them all those years to actually finish the process. I've been gone for all those years. I've just returned to Volusia County as of 2011.
Okay. city will show some light on this one. All right, what do we have here?
That's it.
Yes, Mr. Calger, Anthony Jackson for the City of Daytona Beach, Assistant City Attorney. On this, what the staff has informed me is that this property was initially, and I don't know if ownership is this situation, but was in the possession of the father, of this gentleman's father. And the inspector had numerous contact with the father in efforts to try and get the property into compliance. And then it later became, or then he had one conversation with the son, this gentleman that's before you now, and ultimately realized that the mindset of the son was that he wasn't going to do anything. And ultimately, as you see, that's what happened. He didn't do anything at the detriment of the city, at the detriment of his neighbors. You know, abandoning a piece of property, I know that became a practice and a habit of many, but people suffered along the way. The lien accrued to $14,000. And what the city is asking is for a reduction to 50% to $7,000. We are willing to reduce, but there was contact and reviews by the inspector, and we believe that that's a reasonable reduction under the circumstances.
Who are you?
I'm the original owner of the house. Michael Nagella.
Michael Nagella. So you're the Michael Nagella listed in this item?
Yes, sir.
What was your father's name?
Paul Stephen Nagella.
So he gets cited back in 2008 for this. Says he abandons the property.
I abandoned the property.
But when you abandoned the property?
It was sometime in 2008. I'm thinking May.
Had foreclosure already been commenced?
Yes, they had already told me that they were foreclosing and sent me the papers, and so I left. And after that, squatters and everything took over, and the police wouldn't do anything about it.
You left when?
Sometime before the summer, 08, May, June.
He leaves May, June, 08. We've got the date of the first notification being June 26, 08. Notice was served by posting the property, if I'm reading this correctly, on December 30, 2008. Served said copies of the notice of hearing and notice of violation to respond by personally posting the conspicuous location at 735 MacArthur Court. You're telling me you weren't there anymore by December of 08?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kelter, Mr. Stinson was the inspector in the case, and he may be able to shed some more light on what he was experiencing at that time.
Okay, sure.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector. City qualifications are on record. I've spoken with Mr. Nangella here once on the phone over the course of this case. I've always had to deal with his father, who's living on the property, along with his...
Paul?
I'm sorry?
That's Paul?
Yes, sir.
I've had contact with his father on numerous occasions on the property. There were, like he said, lots of squatters. There was police issues there. Numerous complaints from all the neighbors. Mr. Nangella was in and out of jail when he was in jail.
Which?
The father.
Yes, sir.
The father. When the father was in and out of jail, when he was not on property, the property pretty much filled up with squatters, vagrants, undesirables. At some point in time, finally the father left, disappeared, was no longer there. Then it was finally abandoned. The city wound up having to secure it. It was on and off the trespass arrest site program. Outside of that one contact, I've had no other contact with Mr. Nangella here.
Okay, the title was in your name?
Yes, I had a mortgage on the property. Yes, he was squatting there as well. I had called the law to get rid of him, to remove him, and they wouldn't. And I didn't have the means to evict him in any way, so I just left. The property was going on foreclosure. It turned into a mess.
And you bailed?
I bailed.
And the city... Why is this coming before me now? Why do you... You have other properties that are now being encumbered by this lien?
Well, they had told me that if I decided to pursue purchasing properties in Volusia County, that this lien would be attached to anything that I would purchase.
I believe this is the second time around that you sought to make a purchase. Is that not... Oh, I'm thinking of a different case.
I have bought and sold some houses here in Volusia, and I have had this lien released for $1,000 that I paid on my last sale. I had paid a $1,000 partial release, and then I had another property that I was wishing to sell that I didn't want this lien to attach to.
Mr. Nagel appears to be interested in being into the investment market in the city without having to deal with the consequences of fleeing from property that he was holding.
Paid $1,000 in the past. You get a previous transaction excluded, if you will, from this one.
Yes, sir, in November of 2013.
The lien actually maxed out at $15,000, and it's only $14,000 as a result of the deduction of the $1,000. And we're doing that, quite honestly, Mr. Bekelger, the initial thought, and I believe maybe even the conversation with Mr. Nagella initially, was for another partial reduction. However, it makes more sense for him to be done with this in full and take care of this lien, and then whatever investing he wants to do, he can do, instead of having this lien hanging around.
Okay. All right, do you have something you want to propose as far as what you would suggest paying to be rid of this, or are you just going to wait for me to take a stab in the dark and take the consequences?
Well, I would be willing to pay 10%.
10% of what?
Of the initial $14,000.
What is your business?
What do you do? I'm a self-employed carpenter. No, sir. Currently, I'm in Jacksonville.
Was this property ultimately sold to somebody?
The bank had taken it over last summer.
The bank is working on this thing right now.
When did the bank take possession of the property?
I believe last summer, and end of summer, August 2013. August 2013, I guess.
When did the bank assume possession of the property? You know?
I was under the assumption it was when they sent me the letter that they were foreclosing, that they were taking it. That was back in 08. To my knowledge, I just found about this last summer in 2013 when I tried to sell a house. It appeared on the title search. Yes. I was unaware of it.
Mr. Vicalvo, there's a certificate of title to Federal National Mortgage Association that was issued on September 20th, 2013.
Starts April 2 of 09. When does it cut off?
It reached its maximum.
It maxed out.
Right. It was never brought into compliance. The new owners are going to be bringing it into compliance when it's sold.
Yes, it's one of those situations where the responsible violator doesn't have the means to bring it into compliance since he no longer has right of entry or possession.
So it maxed out 150 days after the day.
Yes.
Well, at that time, I don't believe we had the maximum program, but once we made the adjustments from the maximum program, we reduced it down to the 15,000 as the determination of maximum.
So you want $7,000, you're proposing $14,000. Okay. For the sum of $2,500, I'll let you out from under this. You've got 30 days to make it good or not. If you need additional time to pay that, let people know in the city, and perhaps they'll try to work with you. The balance is $14,000. That means that a grand total of that $150,000 would have been $3,500 paid, which translates into about... I'll propose what I will do is I'll rule that the sum will, since you've taken into consideration the $1,000 you paid already,
mm-hmm.
I'll reduce the lien to the sum of $2,500, subject to that being paid within 30 days. And once again, so I can be clear, if you have a closing or something like that pending or a loan request, then you're not going to be able to conclude it within that time. If you'll speak to the city, then they'll work with you on that. And if that's not paid, then the lien amount stays where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Who would I go about talking to? Is that downstairs?
I'm sure Tony or the secretary.
I'll prepare the order and send you the paperwork.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Good luck to you.
All right. Aloha.
Case number 2, 145 Kingston Avenue, K. Randall Leland.
Nayland.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. Nayland.
I just wanted to make sure that the original pictures that go up on the paperwork were included in the camera.
Okay, Mr. Nayland. It started in May of last year. Nature of the violation was windows, decks, screens, roof, exterior surfaces, structural members, exterior doors, general exterior structure, property unsecure. Okay. continued to October. We have an order of non-compliance. Continued until November on the exterior. December on the interior. Non-compliance in November. Amended order of non-compliance. Allowing me for January 7th.
David here, the inspector signed it today.
Assessed lien fees, $7,200, reported $7,237.29. Photographs of the place. Description of hardship. Architect's stroke on September 17, 2013. October 2013, large kidney stone. November 2013, medium kidney stone. November 2013, flu. Flu again, second week of December. 100 rainy days from 2013 to December 2013. All right, I'm here looking for some relief on the lien. What's the basis of the request?
Well, I put a lot of time and a lot of money in, and I was not in the best of health conditions. I did hire a gentleman, master carpenter. I put permits on everything. I gave code enforcement way more. I did everything first class. It's actually a very nice house now, and I intend to finish it. But the reason I bought that house is I explained way back at the very beginning, 38 years ago, I still have the apartments down the street. And that place was just nothing but hookers and drug dealers and derelicts, and couldn't get the police to do anything. I offered the lady that owned the house, after she wanted to sell, she said no, that was her son living in there. And then finally, she came, God, it was like 6 months later, and asked me if my offer still stood. So I bought the house just to get the derelicts out of my neighborhood. I think I also told you that I am the gentleman that for 41 years I have cut the grass on Kingston from Beach Street to US 1. And that includes edging, weed whacking, and cutting the grass. I have maintained the street. I have asked incessantly to Public Works, when are you going to pave the street? Oh, well, there's a pipe going down that street. Well, that's not ever going to happen. That's done and over with. And they paved a whole lot of streets in the Kingston area, but not mine. But I still keep the entire neighborhood up. And now I brought this little house up to of the older houses on the street. It's the nicest looking house on the street. All done with first class materials, all done with permits.
And your explanation for being late is what?
Being late on.
You're in non-compliance.
And
you're fined $200 per day. That's in January 7, 2014.
The fine began on January 7.
Right. That means the work was supposed to have been done by then, and it wasn't.
Correct. Okay. And
so
you started the fine.
You didn't have it in compliance when you were supposed to.
Okay, then, and, well, I even brought it with me.
I don't know that you mentioned a single thing that's relevant to explaining why you weren't in compliance by January 7, 2014.
Health issues, financial issues.
Familiar with his diatribes about the neighborhood and the city and the city's failure to do this and the city's failure to do that.
Well, I'm
focus, just a sec. The focus of my question is, what precluded you from coming into compliance by January 7, 2014?
My health and money. There's one more.
Okay.
Health issue. There's one more health issue.
Mr. Kelch, if I can interrupt, and I generally don't, but in this situation, if I can, there has been some dialogue with Mr. Nealon and his family with the city, and from the basis of that dialogue and the hardships that are mentioned, which included additional hardships, the city's position is that we're willing to reduce it down to $500.
So he's proposing to knock this down to $500. What's that, Mr. Nealon?
I'd be glad to.
Sounds like a heck of a deal.
Okay. Yes, it does.
All right. And notwithstanding your soliloquies that you shared with us over your tenure here, I urge you nonetheless, if your neighbors aren't doing as good a job as you are, by all means let the city know. Continue to let the city know. That having been said, we all have to mind our own camps too. So, pursuant to the stipulation of the parties, I'll reduce the sum of the lien down to the sum of $500, subject to being paid within 30 days?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Subject to being paid within 30 days.
It will be fine.
Very good.
And thank you. And thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You did a nice job on the house. I'll give you credit.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Will you be sending me a copy of all the works and the bill, and I'll take care of it.
You can't fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. All right, next case, Petra North Incorporated. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Please state your name and be sworn.
Bassam Al Khatib, presenting Petra North Inc.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me. Can you spell that for me, please?
B A S S A M A L K H A T E E B.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about provides the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for an imposition of fine, including a litany of problems. So let me ask our inspector where we stand at this point before I proceed any further as far as compliance is concerned.
If I can have just a second, something to be changed a little bit. Okay, here's what the situation is, Mr. Kelger. This isn't, as you said, there's been some stuff going on here. Since our last meeting, nothing has been done in terms of action on the property. The we had a smoke detector permit issued on 2/27/14. There was a building restoration permit that was applied for back in December 9th of 2013. It was approved March 4th of 2014. And as of yet, we have no, it has not been picked up. It's just been applied and approved without him picking it up. And so it's not yet issued. And so the property still looks the same. The position of the staff is that we're to the point of too little too late, and it doesn't really seem like even now that there's really a diligent good faith effort. And so the staff is asking for a imposition of a fine of $75 per day max to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay. This saga started in August of 2013. photos had to be obtained by posting the property. Got lots of photographs of non-compliance. Order from the respondent being compliant by March 5th for the comment. And I'm hearing that little or nothing's been done. So what's the respondent before I consider the fine that the city suggested?
I have no access to a technology like this, but I took some pictures on my phone if you would like to see some of the things been done.
Was the property in compliance?
We did not have final inspection yet.
You're telling me it's close to being in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If I just say something, why it took me that long, sir?
Well, hang on a second. I want to make sure before our inspector goes back out there that we're all talking about the same thing. So, you're telling me you've addressed the outside storage, the fencing, the house numbers, the exterior, the windows, the electrical fixtures, the smoke detectors, the interior doors, the plumbing fixtures, the appliances, the paint, interior, exterior, the electrical system, the roof, and you've obtained whatever permits were needed in order to get that work done, and you've obtained a rental license. You've done all that?
Not all of it, sir.
Right,
no.
So then what's lacking?
What's not done?
Yes, sir.
It's the shed, remove the roof, some of the plumbing. We cleaned all the storage. It was done deliberately. I mean, the tenants did all this damage to make me look bad because it was personal problems.
Okay.
And we took a lot of junk out of the house. We fixed the fence. We put the numbers. We changed the front door. We put the smoke detectors. We put all the appliance according to the manufacturer's light bulbs, changed all that. And I have it right here. And if I just say something, sir, I tried to contact Mr. Stetson in more than one, maybe late, yes. But I tried to update him what I am going through and why it took that. I didn't get response back. Yes, on my part, it took me too long to start, but I'm a self-employed owner. I'm just, 2012, 2013, the worst for me the last 3 years. As a taxpayer, I'm like everybody else. If I don't have it, I cannot do it. I cannot go to the bank and get the money for it. I'm fighting foreclosure. I'm doing a lot of things now personally. And what I have saved, that's what I get the contractors and people don't want the money when they work. So I'm trying to as much as possible. And I would ask you for continuous for 30 days. And that's all I need, the 30 more days. And hopefully things will be done.
When was the last time the city's inspector was out to look at this property?
Mr. Stinson.
Last inspection was on 3/5.
So you finished a lot of this work within the last week, or was it done before then?
No, sir. It's been the last week we've been working. Actually, when we get the permits, I tried to call him, and he didn't answer my calls. I left 4 voice messages for him, sir.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's back up. So in any event, you're telling me you're almost done.
Most of everything. The little things inside the house, yes.
All right. But you're also telling me that with another month's time, you'll have it in compliance.
Yes, sir.
Let's say the city to that.
Sir, if I could just say something. I would like to meet with Mr. Sisson there to point out what things he likes us to do. That's actually the reason for my first call. It was almost 2 weeks ago.
I can at this moment. And I'll ask if Mr. Garcia can address your question here.
Trying to figure out here if this is a tenant-based complaint from the tenant that originated the case. Speaking with the inspector, numerous contact had been tried to be made. Everything was pushed off to the final points. The property owner here has made contact with Officer Stenson, but again, it's with the same excuse that we keep constantly hear from property owners. We don't have the money. Although there was a tenant in there, there was a tenant dispute between the property owner and the tenant that he had on there. As of our last inspection, 3-5, he's still not in compliance. So I think we've given ample amount of time to...
Is the tenant still in there?
No, sir.
Tenant's out?
They never paid rent, sir. Yes, it
that's
was...
fine.
Yes,
all I want to know is
no,
the
sir,
tenant's out of the way, so it's not an obstruction to you getting this into compliance.
No, sir. It was vacant 4 months.
Okay. And you're confident you'll have it done before the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to extend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until April 2, 2014 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will commence and continue each day thereafter until the fine reaches the sum of $15,000 or the property is in compliance, whichever occurs first. All right, you understand what I've just done?
Yes.
I'm giving you the good news is you're getting until April 2. The bad news is I'm postponing their fine and reducing it somewhat because you're telling me that you've done a fair amount of work and I'm taking you at your word. So my point is, come April 2, if it's not in compliance, a fine will automatically come into effect. So that's going to behoove you to not only get this work done, but to get in touch with Mr. Stenson and clarify anything that needs, any clarifications you need regarding what has need to be resolved.
That's fine, sir. Is there any other communication with Mr. Stenson besides his voicemail?
You'll have to take it up with the city. I don't know what to tell you in that regard either. We got a very few inspectors who cover an awful lot of properties. That's all I can tell you in that regard. Okay?
It's the same number.
You have provided
I have,
his card as well as
thanks,
the supervisor's
sir.
Card.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Case number two, James Cortazar. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
The property is in non-compliance. The respondent is working on it. And the inspector has made the decision based upon the circumstances on what he's seen with the progress that he will give one final extension. So we're requesting that the order be amended to the next cutoff. To allow him to come into compliance. This is the situation where the car hit the building and they had to do some additional repairs.
Okay, so the city is proposing that just extend the cutoff?
Yes.
All right, based on the city's report, I'll amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent to April 2, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number three, Exit Strategy, December 12, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This is before you, sir, for imposition of fine. The inspector is John Stinson. The status is that this is in a similar status where nothing has been done since the last hearing. The inspector is requesting that you impose a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
All right. Taking into consideration the respondent's failure to appear, based on the report of the city, I am fining the respondent a sum of $100 per day, commencing March 6, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of
$15,000.
$15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number four, Laverne Bell is in compliance. Case number five, Theodora E. Keeling. Anyone for the respondent? What say the city?
Oh, This is before you for determination of imposition of fine if the there was noncompliance with the roof. The inspector is informing me that the status right now is that it remains in noncompliance. What do you ask the board for?
We already have a fine in place.
Just a moment, I'm not certain.
Yes, sir. It's for the
we have a fine for the pool, and
right.
And we had remaining the dilapidated roof, which was yet to be remedied or subject to additional fine if the magistrate so elect.
Okay, so the fine we had in place was for the neglected pool, and when was she to be in compliance on everything else?
March 5th.
All right. And what was the amount you proposed?
The inspector is proposing an amount of $75 per day for remaining non-compliance.
And to a maximum of 15?
I think it was her primary residence. I really need some help from you, Inspector. What's the situation here? Is this 1 to 15 or is this her home?
The actual property owner passed away. Remember, her son appeared the first time for the magistrate, before the magistrate. He was ordered to fix the roof and fix the pool. When it came back, the pool was fixed. The roof was not. During the next inspection, the pool had reverted back to an unsanitary state, and the roof continued to not be fixed. As of this morning, the pool is sanitary, and the roof is still in noncompliance.
All right, and what's the maximum amount of the fine for the failure to be in compliance with the roof?
The city is asking for $75 a day to be maxed out at 15.
All right. Okay. Again, noting the absence of the respondent based on the city's testimony of the city, I'll order the respondent to pay the sum of $75 commencing March 6, 2014 and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000 or the property is brought into compliance, whichever occurs first. Case number 6, Alan Bruchel. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
My pleasure. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody. Alain, A-L-A-I-N. It's my first name. Bruchel, B as in Bob. A-R-U-C-H-E-L.
Elaine, okay. Can you raise your right hand, please?
Certainly.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Hang on one second. Okay, city, how long should it take for Mr. Bruchel to come into compliance?
The inspector in this case is Danny Garcia, and I'd ask him to speak to that.
He is going to need to obtain all permits that were expired. He's going to renew them all. Have them obtained, have a licensed contractor, and I'm guessing 2 to 3 months. The permits and licensing is asking for more. So I'm suggesting maybe a progress report. Go 2 to 3 months and a progress report for each month after.
Let's say, Mr. Bruchel.
May I address the court, please?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it very much. First and foremost, my profound apologies for being in non-compliance. There are excruciating circumstances which I'd like to expand with you.
Well, you're welcome to do that if you want, but quite frankly, I'm more inclined to discuss with you what your plans are going forward and how much time you think it's going to take.
Yes, I'd be happy to share that with you.
All right, that's what we're interested in.
Okay, great.
And before you do that, and that's fine, I think that's good. Also, Mr. Stone is from our permits and licensing, and this is another situation where we do have the overseeing of the building inspector in that division in terms of what's going on. And so there's other stuff, and if you want to hear from him as well, it may help give a full picture of what's going on between the two of them.
All right, Mr. Baruccio, let's hear from this gentleman, then we'll know everything that the city...
Mr. Snow, were you sworn?
I appreciate it.
No, I was not.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, and just state your name for the record, please.
Robert Snowden, permits and licensing. As of right now, all the permits have expired, so we have had
can
a little...
You say all the permits.
How he has permits four separate permits, and for various things in different parts of the project.
Were these permits obtained by Mr. Baruccio?
Yes, they were. They're owner-builder.
And how far back does this go?
Oh, 11, December of 11.
All right, go ahead.
And they've all expired, and what we're asking him to do is hire a licensed contractor, a design professional, and bring it all into one separate permit to where we can monitor and control it. He pulled an owner-builder, which you are allowed to do, but you're not allowed to sell it or rent it or anything like that, and you have to supervise that job if you do the owner-builder, and that is not being done.
That's incorrect. If you, well, I'd like to speak.
Okay.
Apologize. Well, okay. I've been in extensive communication. Can I speak, please?
Yes, sir.
My turn? Okay. I've been in extensive communication with Michael Garrett. Mm-hmm. And
he is the building official.
Okay. I have emails from him, and basically, essentially, I decided to keep the building. It's my son, which he's a college graduate. He's a scholarship student accepted to law, and. I'm going to supervise this project. I'm only going to be in town for two months. The only reason why the project has been idled is because I unfortunately was denied a temporary amicable entry into USA, and that's what happened. I would like to also indicate that the existing building plans which I have, they're professionally done by Mr. David Leet, who is an architect, and the building is just 45 degrees away. It's neighboring my property, which is now cited for violations. Another thing that I'd like to mention, please, to facilitate these and so that we can really move forward. I'm very motivated, enthusiastic, zealous, and optimistic to get it done. Is that I would like to propose or suggest a provisional ordinance, an urgent one for accessory interim measures. Because the last email that I have from Mr. Garrett, he's a good man. I know the whole team, and the city has been wonderful too. Mr. Garcia has been exceptional. That everybody in code enforcement, I feel terrible about this. It's like totally beyond my control. Logically speaking, obviously I want it done, you know, and whatever you see that may be stripped here. The only reason why it's stripped, there was tiles here, so it gives it easier accessibility with your sawzall to fit windows in here, you know, and then I'm going to stuck with the building. What's important, I'm just going to come back to the crux of it, but it's important everybody knows. I want to work with you guys homogeneously and synergetically, and I just want to say this some more, that this property, the backyard, that's my backyard, so that in essence doesn't have any visual public eye, you know, so it just, nobody sees this. That's my backyard. And as poorly as it may, as bad as it may look, it's absolutely aesthetic and superficial, you know. But it's going to be done professionally. As I reiterated, Mr. David Leet, we've become friends, probably eternally for life. And he's just a walking distance across the street, like maybe a minute walk. Do you agree? He's across the street. I don't know if you're aware. But oh, yes? Yes, good man. Okay. So what I'm asking also, well, I want to give you the email of Mr. Garrett first.
No, I don't need his email.
Okay, but why I wanted to show it to you, it's pertinent.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Here's my question.
Anything.
I'm hearing you had four permits. It sounds as though they would like them consolidated into one, and it sounds as though they would like to see a contractor doing this work as opposed to you. Is that what I'm hearing from the city?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, what is your response to that?
My response to that is I'm back to the latest update from Mr. Garrett, which it's an email of Friday, March 7th, and I responded also on March 7th, which I'll show the prosecutor. But I just wanted to say something else that's more important. I just want to backtrack a second, please, if I permit me to show you my good faith. You know, I never
show.
Yes.
Your good faith is presumed. I
appreciate
no doubt in it.
Good. Now, thank you so much. God bless you. Good.
Here's my question.
Yes.
Going forward.
You bet.
Going forward.
Yes, please.
What do you propose to do?
Okay. I would like that the permits be amalgamated in a sense that they are recognized. I have in place two beautiful footings. You know, I sweated to also pour them physically myself. They're professionally done. They were also... I called in an inspection. I know Mr. Ron Roberts also. I know your team. You're wonderful people. And, you know, I could tell you also to show my appreciation. Last year it was women's, you know, it's women's year internationally, globally, or around the world. And I offered, I brought in a cake for the girls in the office. You know, there's Keisha, you know, there's Don and Mrs. Fountain. The people have been great. The only reason why I couldn't get in the country. You know, so what's important here, which I wanted to show you, very important. We have this. We're talking about the latest email, but prior to that, I want to present the September 20th, 2013 email. Thank you very much.
Mr. Vakelto, while you're reviewing that, if I can just say there is one more dynamic to this, and that's that this is this whole act, code enforcement action is. In response to numerous complaints. So we have citizen complaints that's raised to the level of now to commissioner concerns, and it's something that we want to get done and want to monitor throughout because of the long-term period that's this has been going on.
I have a total agreement with you.
Mr.
what you have?
Rochelle, do you plan on doing this work yourself, or do you plan on hiring a contractor?
No, I plan on hiring a contractor.
Where are you in that process?
In that process, I met yesterday, Mr. Michael Weiss.
Is your contractor going to be obtaining your permits?
No, that's what I wanted to ask you. I want this to be more expeditious. And once I have a handle on it, it's going to be quicker.
Hang on a second. What is faster, for him to get the permits or for you to wait for a contractor to get permits?
I would say the contractor knows the process a lot better than a typical homeowner.
We're in agreement that we need to consolidate the permits, and we're in agreement that we need a contractor. Are we correct so far?
Partially, if you permit me to say. Number one, I know this product, this project, like the back of my hand. For me, this project is Mickey Mouse. It's a kid's game. There's nothing. This is what needs to be done now. I wish I could do it myself. I'm not licensed, but I have an engineering background. All that has to be done here, there's either cut corners to just stucco the building, or over here the footings in place. You see it? I poured it. The rebar's there, and I have the raw material from Lowe's also. I have all the proof of purchases. I have all the raw material. Bring it up there. First, extend the joists of the rafters. I have the spare tiles, and do the roof. Go up here, and that's done. And then just cut out the windows and stucco it. That's what shows the public. Otherwise, the face of the building don't see it. So, you know, I need a professional mason. Sorry.
Go ahead.
And I probably have a dozen contacts of professional masons. I want to see which one I could screen. Then I need a professional roofer equally. And I'm also going to be working with...
Is Mr. Baruchel required to have a contractor on this project?
Well, the last picture I took has a big for sale by owner. If you're going to do a homeowner builder permit, state statute says you cannot rent it or sell it for up to 1 year. So,
Mr. Baruchel, do you understand that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's why I want to present you the email to Mr. Garrett. He realizes that. He acknowledges it. I'm retracting the...
He acknowledges what?
He acknowledges that that the property, I'm going to keep it. I'm retracting the for sale.
So you're going to hold the property for at least a year.
Absolutely. And then it's going to go in the family. I won't even sell it, but my son's going to enjoy it. Now, let me give you the email of Mr. Garrett, his and mine, because what's nebulous here and unclear.
So if he's an owner builder, he can obtain these permits himself and he can do this work himself? If he's an owner builder, he's allowed to obtain these permits himself and do this work himself. But it can't be on a property he sells for what, a period of at least a year?
At least a year.
Okay. He has to oversee.
He has to oversee it, and if he does go down that route, I'd have to talk with Mr. Garrett, and we can set stipulations like he would have to be there for every inspection and stuff like that. But that he would have the final say in that. He is the building official.
Which brings me back to my question.
With pleasure.
Were you planning on doing this yourself or hiring a contractor?
No, I'm going to be hiring a crew. But yes.
Are you going to be hiring a contractor or are you going to be doing your own contractor?
I like to do my own contract. There's no middleman. It's absurd.
You understand that you have to retain ownership of this property for at least a year.
I certified it.
There are statutes.
Yes, I certified it.
Are you qualify for that?
Definitely. Unconditionally. Definitely. Affirmatively so, Your Honor. There's no question about it. It's a pretty property. It's probably the nicest one in the area. It's very pretty.
All right, then let's get back to brass tacks here. How long should it take him to obtain the permit you gentlemen are telling him he has to have?
That all depends on his submittal. I mean, you know, if he just comes with regular papers or something, but if Mr. Leet's involved. Okay, I mean, we're going to start from scratch. So your old permits are void. We're going to start over.
Can I say something, please? Mm-hmm. This is pertinent. For example, if we look back at the 213 email, which is your possession from Ron Roberts, just to show my good faith, he was asking that I get that I call in an inspection, if you will, see, for the roof and for the electrical, right? I could have called an inspection and let it fail for, you know why? Just a horizontal one by, which is the fascia of the roof.
And what would that help you? How would that help you?
No, I didn't call it in. The only reason why I didn't call in the inspection, I didn't want to have any failed inspection. I didn't have scaffold capabilities to go up there because what was originally there.
Well, my question is, how would that help you by calling in that inspection and it failing?
Correct me if mistaken. I was informed that it would give me a 6 months
Every passing every passing inspection continues your thing. You call in as many as you want. If you fail, that does not extend your permit. It's every passing inspection extends your permit. So if you would have called...
What do you mean by every passing?
You have to call the inspection in and then pass the inspection, then it resets the time for your permit. If you call it in and it fails, it's a failure. You'd pay your permit or your reinspection fee, and it would still expire.
Okay. I've already invested like $40,000 in this building. I have the bills, proof of purchase. And basically, these are two brand-new tile roofs. They're very pretty. It's the only tile roof in the area other than on A1A. There's that. So this, I want to have credit that I couldn't have on a new permit.
We could definitely transfer some of your inspections from that to that.
Fair.
But what I'm telling you now is we're going to start over with a new submittal
and everything
and bring everything that you want in there instead of the piecemeal.
I suggested
stuff.
It. The only thing that I want to do in a two-prong process, and I wrote it very distinctively to Mr. Garrett. It's here. You can have a copy of it. Michael's great. You're lucky to work with him. You know, I like him.
Okay, time out.
I apologize.
It's time for me to assert a little control here.
What?
How much time should it take him to get his permit reasonably?
To get the permit, the submittal?
The permits that you're talking about. How
probably,
much time would reasonably be required to obtain those permits?
Probably 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. All right. And I'm sorry, your name again?
Robert Snowden.
All right, Mr. Snowden says within 2 to 3 weeks, you should be able to obtain those permits. What do you say to that?
This is what I'm getting back to. I appreciate
you
it.
Say, yes, I can, or no, I can't.
I want to explain myself, if you would. The letter back of Mr. Garrett, which is... which
can
I come
give me Mr. Garrett's letter so I can read it once and
that's
all
important,
you
yes.
keep referring well, to makes, it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hear about it no matter what.
Sorry. This is... This is it.
Thank you very much for my response to it.
All previously issued permits have become null and void, expired or closed. And that covers it. Will not be extended. New building permits can be applied for by property license and certified authority contract. Two sets of construction documents and specifications prepared and signed. I assume Mr. Leek can take care of that. Owner-builder permits can be submitted under the same requirements. Owner must personally appear to sign the permit application, be on site to supervise and direct all construction activities. Any and all subcontractors hired by the owner must be properly licensed. Proof of ownership must be provided. Your response. As though you were thanking Mr. Garrett for his directions, which are
I thank everybody. You mean, of course.
Okay, which are pretty much exactly what Mr. Snowden has just reiterated.
No, the only thing I'm not sure it's unclear, it's nebulous, what this is full of, is the impression I have that you can read it either way, you can perceive it whichever way you want, is that he wants one, Mr. Garrett suggests or proposes one permit for the whole project.
Correct.
Homogeneously. That's for the exterior, I hope, not the interior, right?
It's the whole project.
No, I don't agree. That's just it. I want to get in compliance. The only violations are the exterior of the building. The interior, number one, I only have a time limit of 2 months. I have to go back home and then get the visa acceptance for 5 years.
Unfinished exterior surface, no temporary covering for more than 15 days. Construction completed by 60 days. Rear and side walls shall be repaired. Protective treatment, exterior walls.
Your Honor?
Need to be argumentative.
No, never, Your Honor.
Mr. Baruchel.
Right.
Take time out for a moment.
Appreciate it.
Stop
apologize.
Talking for a second. It would appear to me as though Mr. Baruchel is correct in that point.
Okay. Sir.
And the interior, while it may need to be addressed,
later.
Doesn't appear to be in this notice of violation.
And it's not.
How about if
I'm doing you more good than you are?
I'm good.
Stop talking for a second.
I'm going to propose this. We get a permit for the exterior.
We do complete the exterior less than 3 months with a progress report every month. I'll get entry in the inside. Okay. I'm going to re-site him. I'm going to site him, actually, not re-site him. Inspect. I'm going to inspect the inside, site him for the inside, and we're going to get the permits we need to do the inside with a progress report for that also.
But
That'll be a separate case. We're dealing right now with the outside.
You see, the blueprints I have now that are live, they're active with Mr. Leith, and it was also agreed upon with the city that it would be a two-prong process, and the interior could be another time. So there's nothing on there. It's going to take the 3 months.
That sounds like what he just said.
I know. But basically, what violations could the violations look another time?
I won't know. For all I know, there may be none. I don't know. Well, apparently, everyone.
It's going to be a shell inside, and that's all.
Mr. Snowden and I will go and do an inspection, and we'll verify. Okay.
Has Mr. Leek prepared plans for interior remodeling as well as exterior?
No,
just the exterior?
It was never mandated for that.
Okay,
yes.
So now let's get back to Mr. Snowden here. Says you ought to be able to obtain the permits you need for the exterior, I guess, within 2 to 3 weeks. Is that still fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I agree. For the exterior, yes.
Agree with that.
I don't want to talk about the interior. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's a big job.
Well, just forewarning you, apparently the interior is going to require attention, too.
Absolutely.
At some point in time.
Right.
And what Mr. Garcia has just said is we'll look at that as soon as we button this up or during the course of buttoning this up. And then if there's stuff to be done, there's stuff to be done. That's for another day. So he is saying within 2 to 3 weeks you ought to be able to get the permits you need to do the exterior work, to which you say, yes, I can or no, I can't.
Absolutely. I'm confident that, yes, you are.
And I've heard the yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, once we have those permits, how much time should be required to finish the work?
It just depends what's involved in that permit. I mean, we were under the impression that we were going to go ahead and make this house livable. And the inside is a skeleton,
right.
And there is maybe some structural integrity that might have to be addressed. I mean, until we get a design professional, it's going to be hard to tell.
Okay. Have you already submitted Leith's plans to the city?
No.
Well, they have it. Yes, you have it on file in the other permit.
Those are the older permits that are null and void.
But here's what I want to ask you. Very important. I won't be able to advance once I have the permits unless the footings that are in place.
We would transfer those inspections that you already have, obviously.
Okay. And if I don't, we can call it in, right, for that inspection. It was done professionally with the Termidor. It was dug out, the plastic cellophane.
We will look at your old inspections that you've passed, and then we'll be able to transfer those to your new permit.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And once we have these permits in hand, will we have any clearer picture as to when we can estimate the job ought to be done by?
Absolutely.
All right. Then here we go. And this is what we're getting ready to do. This matter is before me for what? Imposition of a fine?
No, non-compliance.
This is non-compliance.
We found
them
in non-compliance.
Then we are going to, and I've already found you in non-compliance.
Yes.
Okay. Are you in the area now?
Thank God. It was a miracle. I shouldn't be.
I know. You got your temporary visa, I remember.
No, I didn't get it.
You're going to be in the area for a while?
2 months. They were going to give me 2 weeks.
Okay, then I'm going to continue our determination of a compliance date to our April 8th meeting. And in the interim, you will have submitted whatever the city requires to come into compliance with this notice of violation, which seems to focus on the exterior, and hopefully, I know you can't control the actual issuance of the permits, but you will have made whatever application you need, and hopefully those permits will have been issued. Either way, at the next meeting, hopefully somebody can tell me this is 30, 60, 90 days down the road at that point in time, and I'll then determine a compliance date. Okay, we all on the same page? I know you guys understand what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not.
You understand what I'm talking about?
I'll explain it to
them. No, I do, Your Honor. The only thing that I wanted to clarify and explain very, very, very quickly, because I know a lot of people, I want to leave on time, is that I only acknowledge receipt of this hearing indirectly on the 6th of March at the end of the day at 2:14. And the first thing I did is I called U.S. Customs, Homeland Security, and Immigration they said, don't call us again. They said, it's a counselor issue, you know. And basically, miraculously, let me in. Otherwise, if I would have known earlier about this acknowledgement, something would have been done. So I haven't stopped working on it professionally, but maybe not physically, but, you know.
I'm sorry, do you have a local address here where you can receive paperwork?
Yes, that's what I want. Yes, please. 415 Braddock Avenue, double D. B-R-A-D-D-O-C-K. D-D-D 32118.
Okay. All right, so you and Mr. Leet are going to submit your plans and the permit applications to the city. I guess it's Mr. Snowden.
Right.
Hopefully everything will be approved. We'll reconvene on April 8th with permits in hand, hopefully. And by that point in time, the city will be able to tell us how long they think it should take you to finish the job. You're going to tell me whether that's acceptable or what you're going to need in the way of time. And one way or another, we'll establish a compliance date. And then with that, we'll work toward getting this done.
Good, and I hope to meet everybody again. I want to, you know, unconditionally, whether it's blue collar or white collar, I want to donate my free time and volunteer for this inconvenience that I caused.
Not a problem.
So I'm going to work with Mr. Garcia or whoever else may need help with the city. I won't forget that.
You can Mr. Garcia will be happy to answer all your questions. Let me give you your materials back.
God bless you. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Good luck to you.
I'm sorry again.
I don't know what you're apologizing for. I'm going to apologize to our audience because I'm going to take about a 5-minute recess right now. So we're going to adjourn, let's say, for 10 minutes, and then we will reconvene. Okay, we have everybody here?
Yes, I believe so.
All right, let's reconvene the meeting. Okay, let me just ask a question for those of you in the audience. We have Sandra J. Outerkirk here.
She's out of state, sir.
All right, hang on a second. Do we have a Donald Watson, Donna Watson, Michelle Watson, Michael Watson?
I believe they're all out of state as well.
We have a Daniel D. Bernstein.
I represent him.
You're representing him. We have a Terry L. and Melody A. Halleck.
Terry Halleck.
All right, we're going to start taking some things out of turn because we've got an item that we need to get to. But at the same time, Mr. Bernstein, come on up. I'm going to Mr. Bernstein. I'm going to Mr. Halleck. Then we're going to go to item 15. I'll worry about the agenda that precedes it later. So we're on case number 13. Yes, sir. Can you please state your name and be sworn?
Yes, Harry Leahy, L-E-A-H-E-Y.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Is it Mr. Leahy?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, some of them have been brought into compliance. Some still have not.
All right, then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Jackson, how long will it take for the respondent to come into compliance on this matter?
Next cutoff.
All right, the city seems to think you ought to be able to take care of everything by April 2, 2014. What say you?
If I may, I would ask for an additional 30 days. The situation is an adverse tenant, and I've attempted to get the interior problems corrected. I have text with me. I don't know if you'd like to see them or not, but
nope.
I've made appointments.
Go ahead and allow the respondent until May 7, 2014 to come into compliance.
Thank you. And just to let you know, I did contact a roofing or whoever, a roofing contractor. He is in the process of applying for a permit. I asked him to do it before this hearing, and he was on other jobs, and he said his paperwork is complete, and he's applying for that. But the situation is just trying to get somebody in there, and I've made repeated attempts.
Right. I'm allowing the respondent until May 7, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If you run into these hiccups along the way, notify your inspector. He'll be your best friend.
Thank you.
If you're late.
Thank you. I had not heard a single word from the very initial time I spoke with the inspector, like back in December, I believe. But if I may ask just one thing, if I see photos, is there any way I can get copies of those photos? All I got was a brief letter saying that there was just some violations.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you have the email that I can email? Where you can email me? Okay. Can I get one of your cards? So, would that have the email or not? He took the last one. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Is that it? Okay. Thank you.
May 7th. All right. Terry L. and Melody A. Halleck.
Morning.
Morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Terry Halleck.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Halleck, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Jackson, how long does the city estimate should be required to come into compliance?
We request the next cutoff for compliance.
Mr. Halleck, the city seems to think you ought to be able to take care of all this by April 2 and have it inspected too. What say you?
It'll be done.
Okay, then I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by April 2, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Please keep in mind, as soon as you have the work done, make sure you call the inspector for his final inspection. He does a notice of compliance, and then it's all done.
That's be you?
Okay.
Yep.
Good luck to you.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, case number 15, John Michael McKee. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Okay, not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Number 15.
Is this the one you wanted expedited?
Yes. Okay, yeah, Mr. McKelvey, there are various witnesses who I think want to be heard, various residents from the Indigo subdivision. This is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. It's complaint-driven, and as you can see, there's a number of unusual, and I say unusual, but not so common violations from what we typically see. But this is a circumstance where there's a...
What am I looking at?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, okay. I think as you hear the explanation of what's been going on, that'll help give some clarity of what that's all about. Basically, an individual purchased a parcel of land that's adjacent to the Indigo subdivision and runs along Williamson Boulevard. The portion of land is where the buffer, tree buffer requirements for the Williamson Boulevard and for the housing division, the residential regions divisions for Williamson. The parcel was a parcel separate. Physically, it had the appearance of being part of Indigo, but it was actually separate from the overall development. And that separate, independent parcel ended up going, or was ultimately sold at a tax lien tax sale. The owner, Mr. McKee, purchased the property for $700. It was a very large parcel, but obviously it was with it being understood not being a parcel that any construction or building could be done on. It was only $700 tax deed, and he elected to go into that area and started establishing his possession by putting these rock signs that you saw that you were trying to understand you were seeing there to identify the property as his. About damming previously established drainage that had passed down and along through the property for years, by putting tents for and staying on the property at periods of time, to the detriment and concern of the neighbors being in their backyards, by collecting water and as the pictures go through, you'll see where this large. Where this collections of I don't want to say buckets, but jars and jugs of water through apparently a water collection or water supply by building makeshift, well, that's the picture of the dam, but also by building a park bench and storing a moped and just things that would be consistent with general residential ownership. However, none of this was done with permits, and if permits were sought, none of it would be permitted.
Sorry.
On the parcel.
You just said you did all those things which would be consistent with general residential ownership?
Well, I mean, things like putting a park bench.
Duck Dynasty or something?
Well, not I'm saying that common, but things like having a bench and putting a tent, things you can do in your backyard possibly.
Building a
dam? Well, right.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's some strange things. So we cited them, as you see, for the various violations.
This guy who bought a piece of property, bought a tax deed, and it's a piece of property that's he can't do anything with.
That's correct.
So he's going to occupy it by bringing these things on there.
Right.
And that's it.
Right. That's what he's done. And he's been residing on there.
For outside storage, I assume.
Yes. We cited him for
Duncan debris.
Right. It's not having a development order for making that development a use of the property. Not having a certain
development order?
Well, it's required for even just for flipping the dirt. Here he's building on it, he's putting things on it. So not that he will be granted one if he sought one, but he's doing activity that would require one. Not having a certificate of occupancy. He's living on it. He's making it, trying to make it some aspect of a residential stay. Non-conforming use, obviously, with it having no lawful use, anything he's doing is non-conforming. Not complying with the general laws, the state, federal, and local laws as applies to the use of the property. Outside storage, of course, with junk and debris, and then, of course, or in addition, we also cited him for litter, which is permissible to come before the magistrate as well. And our request is for him to clean it up and get it into compliance. We've been dealing with numerous complaints from the division, from the individuals that are nearby. That which they can't see is an eyesore. The greater concern is some stalking that will back and forth. To me, it looks like collection and made water collection material. It looks like from a distance.
Correct.
Yeah, like maybe for washing, bathing, drinking. I don't know.
Does this guy stay on the property?
He has been found on the property on numerous occasions.
Well, does he like stay overnight?
Maybe what will be helpful is there anyone that wanted to come forward specifically from the neighborhood?
Hang on a second.
Okay, I'm sorry.
First off. All right, the respondent's not here. Have we found him in non-compliance?
Yes.
All right.
No. Not yet.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. And before we get to our witnesses, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
We request that he come into compliance in 1 week.
1 week. Amy, are we going to be able to get an order into this guy's hand in a week's time?
I have a draft one. I'm going to print it and have you sign it, and then they can make copies of it and deliver it, hopefully.
Okay. All right, sure. If there are any witnesses that want to be heard, I'll hear from
them. Yes, and specifically, Mr. Bukelge, I called for him because I think they'll be able to answer some of the curiosity questions as well. Sir, I don't think any of them has been sworn, so.
Right.
I guess anyone who's going to be speaking, if you want to come forward. Okay. And maybe she can swear both, each of you.
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Could you say your name, please?
Steve Elmer.
Martin Petty.
You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I've been building out at Indigo for 26 years. I'm Steve Elmer, Elmer Construction. He bought the property on the tax sale from Consolidated Tomoka,
had the strip of land there, which they had told me they deeded to the golf course. So when I saw this guy start prowling the property and cutting trees and things like that, I would contact the police, and until we found out that he had a deed to it, at one point when the police came out, checked his ID, there was a warrant out for his arrest, so they took him into police custody. From there, he would come back. He lives on the property day and night. He's built berms into the back of the berm that backs up to my properties. I have my personal residence that backs up to this. Also, an additional vacant lot. He dammed up the water. So when we had all that rain a month ago, I looked into the creek, and it was backing up all the way through north end of Indigo, which, again, I've talked to the code enforcement many times. I had the police out there because now he's been weed whacking into my backyard. He doesn't know where the property line is. He just does it to extort money from me. He told me at one point, pay me $40,000 and I'll leave. So I want this on the record. This guy is not somebody that is just walking through and he's ignorant about the facts or anything. He knows everything he's doing. He's very calculated. And last week, when I went out to confront him that he's in my property weed whacking, he took the weed whacker and right up, and I was from here to you, and I said, is that a threat? And he goes, what? And I said, well, I feel I'm going to call the police. I'm calling the police right now. You are trespassing. No, I'm not. Sergeant Eisner came out with four squad cars. They gave him a citation for trespassing. They said, if you come back, we will arrest you. When I went to church on Sunday, he watches to see my car leave because he hides in the woods and he's watching us all. And when I left for church, he came out with his weed whacker and went right down through my property again. And again, he doesn't know the property line, so he's trespassing. If I would have been there, I would have called Sergeant Eisner. We would have arrested him. So we missed him that time. From there, it's just been, you know, it's been an intimidation threat. When I have customers, you know, I'm showing the vacant lot, he plants himself on the top of the berm, and he sits there watching us with this threatening look. The homeowners do not want to walk. My neighbors do not want to walk down the sidewalk because he comes out and confronts them on the sidewalk as they're walking by. He is definitely trying to extort money from us homeowners. I've offered him $1,000 to deed the land to the city, the county, or whatever to get him out of there. $40,000, and I'll go. So that's where we're at. I mean, there's numerous other things I could lay out, but I don't want to take up the court time.
What's the approximate size of the parcel that he has?
It's 480 feet by roughly 80 feet. 480 feet along Williamson in the back of my two lots.
80?
Mm-hmm.
Consolidated
Tomoka, originally, I had the back parcel of one of my lots. They deeded that to me, and I asked Bruce Teeters, who was in charge of the real estate at that time, I said, why didn't you tell me that you were not going to pay the taxes? It was $12 a year. Indeed, at that parcel to me, and I would have given it to the city, donated to the city. Or he said, we contacted the city, we contacted the golf course, no one wanted that parcel, so we stopped paying the taxes on it. That guy is smart enough to go into the records, see this, and when he came out, he started putting for sale signs also all around the property, $40,000. That was a commercial piece of property for development. And this is going back 3 years, so you can understand my frustration because I've been dealing with this guy looking in my windows for the last 3 years because with the berm, that Consolidated Tomoka gave me authority to build the berm on their property. Now it's created a problem for me because I could have just ran a fence up and never looked at him. But now the berm is, you know, we built it 15 years ago. With Consolidated's approval, of course, that I would have to build a 12-foot-high fence in the back of my yard to keep him from peering in, you know, at all times. But he's living on the property. That's why you see all the water jugs. He's got a tent set up. He comes with his little cart. As a matter of fact, he's been giving three different notices about this hearing today. And what has he done? Every day, I've seen him get off the bus, he gets off on International, bringing more stuff to the land and putting more junk on the property. So it's not a case that he's going to, he doesn't believe that the law is made for him. Again, I could go into his arrest record, but if you look up at his name with a police profile, you see that where he stands with them also. And, I mean, he's not somebody I want in my backyard. That's all I have to say. Thanks. Marty?
I'm speaking as much for my wife as I am for myself. This man, as you saw in some of the pictures, put no trespassing on the sidewalk, put his name on there. It's made my wife very uncomfortable. She will not walk down that sidewalk anymore. He drives a maroon van. He parks the van where it's still on the road a little bit by the little bridge that goes across there. And I asked her, I said, tell me, how would you describe him? She said, creepy and dangerous. And she said, I will not go down there without you. One time he started out, we ride our bikes past there too, and she was a little bit in front of me, and he started out when he saw her, when he saw me, he went back in. So I think he's confrontational. I don't think he should be back there. I know he shouldn't be living back there. So that's all I've got to say about it.
Extent of the property owner's rights, and I'm just speaking hypothetically here. I guess, can the police remove him for trespassing onto his own property? At what point do administrative complaints that are before me get egregious enough to where police can intervene and remove the property owner from his own property?
I'm not, that's a good question. That's one that I hadn't searched out.
Figure out how to work my way there. I'm just curious.
Yes, that's something. That's an interesting thought, and it's not one that I've searched out. But that's to be quite honest with you, probably the.
Can this man just stand in the middle of his property and say, "I'm on private property. Don't touch me. Don't bother me. And don't come onto my property."
Well, typically, the administrative route for entry onto land is going to be through some aspect of condemnation, having some right of protecting citizens, you know, health, safety, and welfare type of right of entry. That doesn't necessarily seem like that's going to be what's going to be the ultimate step here. The presumption is that ultimate step would probably require an injunctive action, asking the court to, and of course, you know, you have criteria there, and we're not sure that that criteria, at what point we meet it, but it will help having him not compliant with the local laws. So that's our starting point by having the code enforcement action. And I mean, quite honestly, it's easy to see that a code enforcement action here, the impact is, at best, we get a fine imposed and it runs up, and I guess we could, you know, move with a foreclosure. But obviously, that's a long process. The shorter process would be seeing if he's responsive to the code action, and if he isn't, then taking outside legal actions. That would be what I would presume. Not that I can speak for, you know, the steps that ultimately the commission will want to take, but that's what I would presume would be the direction.
All right. Well, at this stage, it's just before me to make a determination of compliance or non-compliance, which we've already done, and to establish a compliance date, which we're about to do. It would seem to me, and I say this to the city as well as the residents who have any interest in it, that the meeting they should attend would be the next one. The next one, presumably, if he doesn't come into compliance, would be to establish the amount of the fine. Now, the amount of the fine is a function of any number of bits and pieces of information. Number one, the gravity of the violation. The point is, this gentleman using this property in the method in which he's doing for the purpose of what I'm hearing is essentially extortion, is particularly pertinent when it comes to the determination of the fine to be assessed at that time. So I'm just stating that for anyone's interest. So all that having been said, minding the constraints we're dealing with, I found him in non-compliance. How much time does the city think the respondent should have to come into compliance?
7 days.
All right, then I'll order the respondent to come into compliance within 7 days or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay? And for those of you in the audience who are being subjected to this, I would suggest or recommend to you that your voices would be better heard at the next meeting when it comes to the imposition of the fine, because that's the mechanism by which you bring to bear whatever leverage may be legally permissible as far as this man and his antics. It's a unique situation, but my point is, based on the testimony I've heard here, that testimony would be relevant when it comes to the topic of the gravity of the violation, which in turn impacts the amount of the fine, which in turn inevitably leads to a lien. And if there's monetary gain afoot here, then that's going to be subverted by a lien that's going to continue accruing at what may be a very steep rate. So there, I've given more advice out than I probably am supposed to. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Returning to our agenda, case number 8, Sandra J. Outerkirk.
Mr. Kapelja, we have a fire inspector here for the next case.
Oh.
If there's no other respondents here,
sure.
We move to
then we'll do it.
16.
Yeah, I don't believe it's going to be lengthy after all.
Okay. Case number 16. John Nicholson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
John Nicholson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
we here today to talk about the number of units?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. McCullough,
do you have no one else out there with any matters to be heard on this morning's agenda?
Are you
no,
on the agenda?
No.
Y'all
for the red light.
We're here for the red light.
Okay. Okay. Y'all will follow.
All right. As I understand the city's position, he's entitled to no more than four units, and those have to be brought into compliance.
Correct.
And as I understand Mr. Nicholson's position, he's had five units historically, and the city's been out there at various and sundry times doing this, that, what have you, and has never complained before.
Right.
Is that about it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's about where we stopped, but I don't know if we... I think now, and maybe I understood Mr. Nicholson wrong when we spoke, but we've concluded that inspection that he spoke of before was a conclusion that there were three units in the garage and there was one unit, the house itself, which would represent the four units,
right,
which is the amount he's allowed.
Right.
So the city is not... We remain with the position that he's allowed four units. The problem is that he has five right now,
right,
and so we just need him to reduce.
He's allowed four units, and are we in agreement that three of these are in this garage structure?
That's yes, we are.
And yeah, the house is the fourth.
Yes.
That's the city's position.
That's correct.
What's allowed is what they're saying is allowed.
Right. I understand. I just want
yes
to make sure I understand their position.
Right.
That's correct.
So we have three permitted units or permissible units in the garage.
Now, some clarification. When we say they're permissible, If we went there checking today, I can't promise you we would have said that today. But based on the things that Mr. Nicholson has pointed out, we acknowledge that which includes that we did go in, we did inspect them for rental, we did, although we didn't change the number and made and actually identify the multiple units, we did observe and know that there were three units in the garage and one unit house, and we're not going to enforce or pursue the issue regarding anything concerning those units as is. So we recognize he has four units. Mr. Nicholson has indicated to me that he does not intend on continuing to rent them. Our next stage was, well, he has four units. He only has two that he actually ever received a rental BTR for. But the issue we had was the issue of requiring him to get a business tax receipt, which would be just a general requirement if they are being rented, or if he intends on renting them. But he's indicated he has no intent to rent them. Also, what he would need to know is active now is also our rental inspection program, and he'd have to deal with those issues as well. But beyond that, that's our issue as it relates to the number of units and what should happen with them. And I think if Mr. Nicholson speaks, he'd say that we're probably saying the same thing at this point.
So with the city in agreement somewhat, the four units may be permitted.
Right.
What's the issue that remains?
The issue that remains is the compliance that we spoke of before that you've already put in place and the removal of one unit. Because I think he has five.
Unit being the second unit in the home.
No.
In the garage. There's currently four in the garage.
And
the
only
we need it to come down to three in the
right
garage. Okay. And everything properly permitted and brought up to code.
Okay. All right. So the home has always been the home, and it's always been a single unit.
Correct.
The garage is where we house all the other units.
Correct.
And the debate is whether he's going to be allowed the four that are there or whether it should be three.
Correct.
The city's position, it should be three.
Correct. The best knowledge we have from the perspective of how many we thought he had, it was probably two, but ultimately we determined that we did find a third one and we didn't do anything about it. So that's where we are, in the garage. And so we do agree that at some point we recognized that he had three units in his garage, but we never agreed, and I think he understands and agrees as well, that as to the fourth unit, we don't agree to an additional unit besides the land development code requirements for density limits the number of units to the property to four.
Okay. So I am going to hear testimony justifying a fourth unit in a garage?
If that's what he wants. I mean, if that's what you want. We're not trying to justify a fourth. We say he has three plus one, and right. I think he agrees.
The rub here is whether he gets to keep the fourth unit in the garage.
I guess that's yeah.
Okay. With that, the only way that would be allowed is to go through a variance. If the Board of Adjustment says yes, then I can keep it. Yes. If not, I take out one wall and the two deficiencies become a two-bedroom apartment. It's only a matter of an 8-foot wall. So it's no big deal. Money-wise, it's a big deal because I don't like having two single bedrooms. I prefer to one person per unit. You get less fights, less irritation, less problems. But it can be done very easily, very inexpensively. So I would go to the Board of Adjustments. I would not deny the ability of having the extra efficiency, but it's no big deal if I don't. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
All right. So then
I would keep the option of going.
In a compliance state, we have to schedule something after a Board of Adjustments review.
Okay.
Is that what I'm hearing?
If that's what he's asking. I mean, we understand right. It's there. So generally,
the city, right. You're telling me, there are possibly three permitted units for that building.
Yes.
Correct.
You're telling me a fourth unit would not be permitted.
That's correct.
You're the city attorney.
That's correct.
Okay, that means I've got the city's legal advice being there are three permitted units. All right? I'm not going to argue with my city attorney.
Right.
Okay, or the special magistrate city attorney. You're saying there's four there, there's extenuating circumstances.
Right.
I should be permitted to keep that fourth unit.
Correct.
Mr. Magistrate, you don't have the authority to make that call. That goes before a Board of Adjustment. And you intend to pursue that.
I'm not saying that you don't have the authority to say it one way or the other. I'm saying that the unit next to me, a smaller house, was converted to six units, and the city permitted that. So I don't know whether it went through the Board of Adjustment, because that was like 25, 30 years ago. So I really can't remember what he did. But he has six units on a smaller property and a smaller house.
Yeah, let me clarify.
Okay.
It's not within my purview.
Okay.
I mean, Mr. Jackson is here wearing several hats.
Right.
He's not only an advocate for the city, he's also the attorney for what? The special magistrate?
I advise. Yeah.
Police department.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay, well, my point is, I get my legal advice from him.
No, it can't be.
He says, no, it can't be.
No. But, yes, I can give you the law. I'm sorry. I'll let you speak, sir.
Anyway, my point is, I look to him for whatever legal advice I take into consideration as far as what is or is not permitted. I'm being told three may be permitted. Four would not be. I don't know. Do I have the authority to make the determination as to whether a fourth unit is going to be allowed there or not?
No, my position is no. And
okay, well, that's my thought, too.
From the perspective that I'm telling you, based on our law, he's allowed four units on his land.
Okay.
And I can show you it in the code if you need me to, in the land development code. And I bought the staff that would be able to advise you that as well, that on that parcel, he's allowed four units.
Well, I'm not hearing a whole lot of dispute about that.
Right.
What I'm hearing is,
but he has five.
Understanding that, in fact, there are five.
Right. Correct.
And I'm sure Mr. Nicholson is going to say there are circumstances now that have accumulated over time that would make it inequitable for me to be denied that fourth unit. But my point is,
I don't know if that would be where he's going. But ultimately, I agree with you, Mr. Vakelja, that when we have a situation where someone is utilizing land in a manner that's contrary to the land development code and they want an alternative opportunity or right to continue that use, then they would seek a variance. And that's what he's saying he wants to do. He has his use or circumstance that's not within our code, and he's saying he wants to maintain or continue that circumstance, then the way to do that, one way to do that, we're saying we want it stopped. That's what us code enforcement is saying. It's something contrary to code, we want it stopped. He's saying he wants to be able to continue, and the manner in which he wants to be able to continue is to seek a variance. And I'm okay with that.
You're not just saying you want it stopped. You're saying it's a violation.
Yes.
Hence a notice of violation.
Yes.
Okay, and I guess you're not my lawyer?
No, not really. because I can't wear the two hats. I can't represent the staff and represent the board or magistrate.
All right. Well, I guess I'm not hearing Mr. Nicholson protest that technically only four units might be allowed on the property. Are you disputing that?
That's the new law, yes. I don't know when it went into effect, but that's the new law.
So we're in agreement that's the law. All right. So we don't need to worry about where the lawyers came from.
Right.
All right. So we're in agreement that the law says four units. The circumstances, however, are that there is a fifth unit, and Mr. Nicholson wants to pursue whatever relief is available to the city that would enable him to keep that fifth unit, notwithstanding what the law may actually say. Did I say that correct?
That's correct.
I believe so.
And I think we're in agreement that that's a variance, that the, what do we have, the Board of Adjustments and Appeal or something like
correct.
That?
Correct.
For them to consider.
Right. Now, I can throw a monkey wrench into this if you want.
Sure, why not?
I was going to take down the wall anyway because the city required me to put the wall in one of the units so I could have an extra fire exit. And I came up with a way of putting in a vertical window that could be used as a fire exit, and I could gain that extra 200 square feet for that unit. So if I take down the wall, it becomes, instead of two efficiency, one two-bedroom unit. And I could do that now, which would put me in compliance immediately. It takes like maybe an hour or two to take down the 2x4s and plywood.
This is your call.
If need be, that could be done, and then I could hit the Board of Adjustments.
I do want to say this, Mr. Vakelja. I just was advised by our Development Services representative that we don't stop anyone from seeking a variance if that's what they want. But he can apply, but there's no mechanism to grant a variance for density matters, to expand the density of a property. So there's... So variance wouldn't be the ultimate. When he come and speak with him, they'll tell him that. Then he wouldn't want
would
to waste his money on the application.
Yeah, that would be my only alternative to this. Would be going to a variance, you know, for a Board of Adjustments. But other than that, there are a couple of things that we talked about previously. I want to make establish before we go on. One, this goes back. Because they were saying that they were not aware of it. I have. If you can, come on this.
This is the property appraiser taking the number of units, and then 98 a year, they started taxing me on the units. Secondly, I was told that I was never given a permit, a licensing permit. Not called a licensing permit now. Called a business tax
relief. Oh, so in 02, we agree you were given one.
But they changed the name from permits of licensing to business tax receipt, and here I did have it, and there's the inspection, and it does say, and although I talked with the fire chief or the department, you cannot ask me to remember the units, but he does say upstairs, front unit, rear unit, which indicates that there are three units that building. So they were aware, instead of two, they were aware of at least three. And lastly, I was told that I did not apply for the building permit last meeting. I went downstairs. I did apply on the day before the meeting, and I do have it now.
That's for the fence?
For the fence, the wall, and the driveway. Oh, yeah, I had a few things that needed to be done.
And
then here
we've got siding, we've got other things.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you got permits for those?
Yes. And then
they have not been applied for as of today.
This is the termination on the electric, water, and gas.
So
all those have been turned off. Okay.
And Ms. Nixon, have you gotten with the staff with that yet? I mean, like the code staff.
No. So I went down to permitting. I did what I was required to do. I did it.
Understood.
I signed for it.
But you may talk together. You may come in agreement with some points of compliance based
right.
on your information.
Correct.
But y'all hadn't tried. We hadn't gone that route yet.
Okay.
So
I was told to get a permit. I went and got a permit.
I got you.
I got what I thought was the permit,
okay.
And you guys said no, you don't have the permit.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's there. All right.
Very good.
So they read over what I needed can be done outside of the interior, and that's a permit for the things that are outside of the interior that I need a permit for. I was told I don't need a permit to caulk the windows. I don't need a permit to paint. I don't need a permit to take the trash out.
Mr. Nipson, do you have more than one copy of that information? Okay. We get the record.
All right, well, compliance with all the other matters, not unrelated to the number of units,
right,
is due, what, April 2nd?
Correct.
Yes.
All right.
Now, I believe you even asked for this.
What's the purpose of all this? This is your way of telling me you're on track for April 2nd?
And also clarifying what was said at the last meeting. The inconsistencies at the last meeting, it was to clarify. Except there's one document that says the county and the other document that says that the city knew of the units. Because at the last meeting, they said the city was never aware that there were additional units back there and that I never had a business tax receipt.
And we agreed. A business tax receipt he had was for two units, but our inspector did note that there were...
It could be two or three.
I understand. But the inspector did note that there were three in the garage and one in the house.
Make sure it's complete.
I think some of the things you found is what aided the city into coming to the conclusions that we are in agreement with.
Okay. Three and four. Yep. Got them all.
All right, well, I mean, April 2 isn't here yet, so. And I guess I'm hearing from our inspector she has concerns over whether permits have been obtained that would enable him to go into compliance by April 2.
That's
so
right.
You've been forewarned as far as that goes.
Okay.
But you've got between now and April 2 to figure that out.
Right.
So with regard to the number of units, where do we stand? You're going to be going to the Board of Adjustments for a variance?
Right, but I will take the wall down that makes it the four units into three within the next week.
But I'll reiterate
which
the staff.
That into compliance.
The staff?
If that's what you're worried about.
Right. And so I don't know what to go to the. I mean, you can go ask them.
Right.
Ask staff. But what I'm being told by staff is that he wouldn't even have anything he can put on a variance request.
I'm not talking about the variance. I'm talking about taking down the wall to make three units.
If he's that wants to waste his time filing a variance request, I don't care.
Okay.
It's not my concern. You've already warned him. You've forewarned him. If he tries to proceed, more power to him. Now, I'm interested. He tells me there's a simple device by which he comes into compliance with the number of units up there as well. Is that correct or not?
Into compliance with the number of units.
Yes.
We have the issue of the condition and the permitting for when the units were built. There are no permits on file, so we would have to bring all the units up to code and get the proper permits for bringing the units up to code. Number is the first thing.
Okay.
And then we move on from there.
But I thought that's what this meeting was for, is a determination of the units, was this meeting.
Determination of the units so that we could ultimately establish a compliance
rate for
everything.
Correct.
As to those items that turn on how many units there were going to be.
Right, and that's why I'm at
now,
this point.
Right now, they're telling me you have four units. You're telling me you have four units.
And I'm telling
you're
you that
telling
I.
Telling me I take down a wall or I take down a window or something like that.
I take down a wall and I
have
three.
I don't have four units anymore. Now I have three.
Correct.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I think so.
Are you in agreement with that?
I'm in agreement that might bring, I'd have to see.
That would bring
us to three in that,
right.
Only the number.
I understand
right. They
still have to be brought into compliance.
Right. I understand that.
All right.
Yes.
So is that what you're doing or not?
I'm telling you, if I take the wall down, it creates three units.
Right.
The unit does not determine whether it's one, a deficiency, a one-bedroom or two-bedroom or three-bedroom is a unit.
Okay.
So making an efficiency, two efficiencies into a two-bedroom still complies with the idea that it is a one unit. So I have one two-bedroom upstairs, I'll have one two-bedroom downstairs, and I'll have an efficiency, which then brings it into the three units, which will satisfy them with the three units.
Okay.
For this one.
Is that what you are going to do?
Yes, I told you. Within a week, the wall will come down.
Okay.
Because there's already a door into the other unit. I put that wall up because the city required me to do so to have an additional fire exit. The city.
Mr. Nicholson is telling me he's making a structural modification that's going to turn two units into one. He's telling me he's doing that. Now, first off, does that jive with what you all think happens when he takes this wall down or whatever he's talking about?
Aside from taking the wall down, not only that, but he has to get the plumbing into order, cabinetry, sinks, any of that that's in there has to be removed, which are going to require permits for him to obtain. So just the removal of the wall is not going to put him into compliance with the three units that he has to have. He's going to have to apply for permits, remove the wall, cabinetry, plumbing, anything else that's in there, and then that portion of the property or the building, rather, having the three units, will put him in compliance.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay. Question on the cabinetry and the sink. It has always been acceptable in a bedroom to have a bar sink and a refrigerator in homes. I don't know if you all. It is a tiny little sink. Because it will create a full unit.
That's going to be for my determination. Right. I guess the intent here is to make sure that it's one living unit.
Right.
It's not two living units, but just a Band-Aid correction.
No, it'll be one unit.
That's all. Well, the only thing I'm hearing said by Mr. Nicholson is it's going to be one unit. So that having been said, how much time to come into compliance? We already have till April 2 a number of items.
I believe he gave himself the time for compliance by saying it's going to be done in a week.
I said the wall.
He's talking about knocking a wall down.
To make it one full two-bedroom unit.
He's thinking that's going to make two units one. You've come in and said, no, that's not enough. You've got stuff you got to remove. You can't just go from two units magically to one unit by removing a wall.
I think everything should be in compliance by April 2.
Pardon?
By April 2, everything should be in compliance.
Okay, he seems to think, and I know the two of you are disputing what has to be done. I'm
right.
Not.
That's the same. Yeah.
But my point is, all right, he's saying you ought to be able to have it all done by April 2. What say you?
From what I understand, and I don't have the original document with me, all I have is this. The items that are in the interior that require this rental, if I'm not renting them out, do I still have to have these in compliance and the inspection? And my view is I don't until I decide in the future to make them rental units in the future. I'll take down the wall and make them three units so that they're happy with the idea.
You have to have all these units in compliance if they're not being rented, used,
yes,
or occupied.
Still an interior. Yeah, absolutely. And he needs a permit to take down the walls, to remove the plumbing, to do whatever else he needs to do. Our zoning individual can address the fact if there can be the sinks or what constitutes a room.
Right.
But, yes, he gets a permit for taking the wall down, permit for making any of the changes he needs to convert it to three units, and then we go on from there for all the interiors, the rest of the interior services.
It's a non-supporting interior movable wall.
We need to make sure that when we don't know that unless you submit for a permit. I just talked to the permitting people.
Okay, because in the past you never had to, a non-structural wall, you never had to have a permit to take down.
I can't make the determination if it's non-structural or not. We need to apply for a permit to make sure and have it checked to make sure it's not.
Never before. And this is new.
Well, yeah, there have been no permits pulled before. Right.
Yes, there were. The wall wouldn't be there if you didn't tell me to put it there.
You guys can argue about this amongst yourselves later. What I want to know is how much time. They say you ought to be able to have all this done by April 2. What say you to that?
It depends on what they change. If it's what's here that's required, all the new stuff that I did not believe had to be in here.
Do what?
Because when you close it down, you close it down. That was the whole idea that brought this to the forefront, is the tenant that was there who was supposed to do the repairs didn't do them and reported it because I was closing down the building because my mother was ill.
Okay, now, you, having your mind's eye, what it's going to take to come to, what it's going to take to come into compliance. I'm telling you right now, they are not in agreement.
Right.
Now, that having been said, and they have in their mind's eye what it will take for you to come into compliance that you're not agree with. You're not going to agree with. I'm going to hope between now and this compliance date to all of you get on the same page. That may or may not happen. In any event, the city has already said, Mr. Magistrate, he ought to be in compliance with everything by April 2, as far as we are concerned. Now, as far as Mr. Nicholson is concerned, how long should it take you to come into compliance? Because if you're going to say, for example, I'm going to need more time than April 2, then I'm going to ask you, okay, why? But before I get to the second question, I need to ask the first. When are you going to come into compliance?
With the other stuff, exterior-wise, within the month. I'll have it all done by April 2nd. Okay? I have the wood and everything. I'm just waiting for the permit.
We have an order for a lot of this that says you'll be done with this by April 2nd.
Correct. And I thought that's what you were asking me.
We very meticulously drafted an order that has all the other items that turn on the number of units involved. So now the question is, if we're going down to four units, which both sides are telling us is happening,
right,
how much time do you require to do whatever it is you need to do under this second paragraph of the amended order to come into compliance?
And what is the second paragraph of the amended order? Are you talking?
Okay. Further order.
To me, there were two. Okay, one was what had to be complied, excluding the 4-1 unit thing combination. All those other things will be brought into compliance by the second. Those that are now in play is determining whether I have to bring up those three units to full compliance. I have no idea, and I don't know the cost. Because I did not know that I would have to take out permits, which are like $59 a piece for all of these things, ad infinitum.
To remove walls?
To remove the wall, to remove plumbing, to whatever else they want. All those, I have to find out what is required by permits, because in the past, they weren't required permits. Okay? Now he's saying that they do require permits, and they each are like $59.
So you're telling me you don't know how much time it's going to take to come into compliance?
Not within the next month.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't know what it requires.
First off, it sounds as though there are two units in this garage which are now getting ready to become one. So as far as removing accessories, cabinets, sinks, what have you, I'm assuming we're focusing on those two units that are now getting ready to become one. So that doesn't sound like that big a deal to me. And I assume you're going to walk through and say, we don't need more kitchen shelves over here because this ain't a kitchen anymore.
Right.
And we don't need this because this ain't the this anymore. So I would assume it'd be pretty easy to walk through these two units, determine what is the surplusage that's no longer required once we go from two units down to one, and then at least be able to formulate a plan to remove. And you're telling me you don't know what that is as you stand here?
No, that I can understand. But they're saying there are other things, and I don't know what the other things are. Do you understand?
I see a lengthy list of violations. I can only assume they're in there somewhere.
Well, the sink wasn't part of it. So I'm. When you hit me on a spot in 2 seconds to find out what's on that long, lengthy list of how long it would take to do it, if the units are not rented, then it becomes what has to be fixed if it's just a storage unit, which is what they are right now, is storage. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And they're saying you, for a storage unit, you must have X, Y, and Z. And as a storage unit, I don't see the need to have X, Y, and Z.
Again, does all of this conversation still involve these two units that are now coming down to one?
No, it's the whole building.
I understand the whole building part, but when we keep talking about these things that we don't understand and we can't identify and we don't know what they're talking about, are we still talking about what has to happen in converting the two units down to one? Is that the intangible that we don't know right now?
No. That's tangible. That is two permits, one for the plumbing and one for the wall. That's the...
Just doesn't seem like this ought to be that complicated. All right, in any event, I'm hearing the city tell me by April 2 everything ought to be done. Okay? And you're telling me you don't know what to say one way or the other?
In terms of what here, replace water heater. I just had the water heater worked on. What is it that they want replaced and why?
All right, well, to be honest, that's the kind of minutia you and the city are going to have to get together
right.
and resolve.
But you're asking me to answer that, and I don't know it.
If I may, and just to clarify, I believe the question here is, and if you would, all the violations of the exterior of the property must be corrected by April 2nd. That's the order that was given at the last hearing. With the build, with the garage, I'm saying, or the city is saying, that he should be in compliance by April 2nd, obtaining the permits, removing the wall, converting the two units into one. The other violations inside, he probably will need more time to get them up to compliance. But to resolve this issue here, I'm saying in total, April 2nd, everything on the exterior, painting, the rotten wood, the removal of the trash and debris, the fixing of the fence, the green tarp on the yard, all that has to be removed, and the two units that he's going to convert back to one by April 2nd. Does that clarify that for you?
Okay.
John?
Yeah.
That clarifies
that's
it.
That's what I told him. That can be done. All the other stuff is the variables. It's a known entity, the wall, and whether permit or not. It's a known entity, plumbing, whether it's a permit or not. And then everything on the exterior is a known. So all of those are known entities and can be done by April 2nd.
Okay, I don't want to short shrift you of any of the things in your notice of violation that you want done. If you want to take a stab at itemizing, like you just did a moment ago, what you want done by April 2nd, go for it.
By April 2nd, like, go on. All the exterior issues taken care of, the wall proper permits obtained for removing the wall, any plumbing, any electrical, anything that, in talking to permits and licensing, whatever permit he needs to remove that wall and convert those two units to one. We'd like that conversion and the exterior issues taken care of by April 2. Additional interior repairs that need to be made to be brought bring the units up to code, we can give additional time.
All right. You understand what
mm-hmm.
you just said.
Which is what he just said.
Okay. I'm glad you guys understand one another. Okay. Then would you please, in my order, quote our inspector. Are you going to be able to do that?
I'll listen back. And.
Okay. Let me take a stab at it. Then let me clarify. I don't know that I'm amending our previous order of noncompliance. I'm just clarifying it for the time being. That by April 2, we're expecting all exterior matters to be resolved, as well as all permits obtained and all structures removed needed to convert these two units we've been discussing down to one. And that is with the understanding that there's additional interior work to be done, but that we will address that at another time.
Yes.
All right.
Well, when do we
so let me go ahead.
What is it at another time?
I guess I would
come back. And when we come
you
back.
Want to call that a second amended order of noncompliance? You're welcome to. Failing that, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And I would really call that more of a clarification of this existing order than a substitution, because I don't want the original requirements of our order being lost in the process.
So can we buttress that with a progress report on a remainder, just so that we don't have a basis for coming back if he's in compliance?
You jumped ahead of me. My next question was going to be, how and when do we determine a compliance date for the balance? Is there any reason why we can't do it now, or do we have to do it someday in the future?
I think the interior can be probably, it's a lot, and I think it can probably all be accomplished comfortably in 2 months. So I would like to have monthly progress reports to make sure that we are moving along. And if there are any bumps in the road and we need additional time, we can work on that then. But I think
you say 2 months right now, that means May 7, 2014. So you're suggesting that as far as those, what I'll call
interior,
other items, primarily interior, you think by May 7, those should be in compliance.
June 7th, yeah.
June 4th, those should be in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Nicholson, are you prepared to tell me that you'll have the interior in compliance by June 4th, or are you not able to speak to that as you sit here right now? Because I get the sense that you may not be able to speak to it as we sit here right now.
I can say financially, to do what they want done, it can't be done in 2 months. All right, because I'm on a fixed income. Two, what they want done and what I want for the building are two separate things. They want a complete renovated, ready to be rented out within 2 months. I'm using it as storage.
Well, as long as you know and understand that the property can't be rented, used, or occupied until it's brought into compliance.
Correct. We did that,
you know,
2 meetings ago.
Then I have some latitude as far as additional time for you finishing some remodel, build out, call it what you want.
Right.
All right, so I don't want to bite off too much more than I have already. Then
we could do that next month when I have a chance to talk to them about what they will require on that,
okay,
if that's kosher.
Okay, then let's do this. We've already addressed what we expect to have done by April 2nd of 2014. Let's put this on the agenda for the April 8th meeting. And at that point, we'll hopefully be a little closer to knowing what the end game may be here. So I'm looking at us discussing this again on April 8th. And at that point, the object will be to determine what your plan is going forward, how much time is going to be required.
Okay.
Just one other.
April 2nd, a meeting, and April 8th, are there two meetings?
The 2nd is the compliance.
Oh, okay, but it's not the date of this meeting.
Gotcha. The 8th is the
meeting.
Gotcha. Your work has to be done by the 2nd.
Correct.
Right.
But I thought the meeting was on the 2nd, and it's just the 8th.
Well, you could be meeting on the 8th if you don't come into compliance by April 2nd.
So we are.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm just trying. I lost it for a brief second. There's something else that's important that I think that the development services feels is very necessary for Mr. Nicholson to understand. As he keeps saying, he wants to use those units as storage. That if he uses it as storage, that's a conversion of the use from an apartment or residential use to a storage use, which means it puts him in a position of losing his ability to use it as an apartment in the future. So I don't know if that's really what he wants to do. And we just wanted to make that clear for him. We're not trying to pull nothing over on him. That he needs to understand if you change the use, then you're abandoning.
I'm not changing the use, but I'm just saying that there are things in there now that will not allow it to be rented. The water and electric turned off will not allow it to be rented. So the whole idea is that it's not in a position to be rented, and I have no intention of renting it.
I think what you would like to say, instead of using the magic word storage, is
okay,
you may be taking your sweet time doing the remodeling with the understanding it won't be rented, used, or occupied until it's brought into compliance.
Correct.
You threw the storage word in there that kind of threw a bit of a monkey wrench in.
Oh, okay. The whole idea
I think what you're getting at is, I know I'm not going to be renting it
right.
until it's been, all the work's been done, they've
right.
determined it's in compliance, and I'm within the zone.
And I've also gone through the new rental program they have to go through.
Understand all that. So it sounds like we're all on the same path.
Right.
Okay, that's as much as I'm going to say. Okay.
Right.
So y'all appreciate me clarifying all that. Appreciate it. Good luck. Good luck. We'll get there. Okay.
So now we're back to number 8.
Number 8, Sandra J. Outerkirk. Anyone here from the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
Mr. Kelgett. Case is here for compliance or non-compliance. It's complaint driven. It's currently in non-compliance. And the inspector is asking for a form to be in compliance by the May compliance date, but asking for an April progress report.
Okay. All right. Based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to be in attendance at the April 8, 2014 meeting for a progress report and order the respondent to come into compliance by May 7, 2014 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. That's
it, sir.
Case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10 is in compliance. Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Donald Watson. Donna Watson, Michelle Watson, and Michael Watson. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
This one is also complaint driven. The owners out of town, or the owners. They're out of town, multiple addressees. The as you can see, this they were first notified back in September 2013, but this is the first time that you actually bring in them before you, the magistrate. It's an eyesore. We're asking for them to have 10 days to secure the structure and for them to be into compliance by next cutoff.
All right. Based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to secure the property to city standards within 10 days or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter and come into compliance by April 2, 2014 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 13, we have done. Case number 14, we have done. Case number 15, we have done. Case number 16, we have done. Any miscellaneous business that we brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir. No, sir.
Well, I'm going to give kudos to you inspectors for something that you richly deserve. I went to our city commission meeting on Monday. I went there to go watch that one-day council thing. And how was I to know, unless I'd shown there, that an event which passed completely under the radar, but in my opinion totally eclipsed One Daytona, had actually occurred? That being that cesspool out there on Beach Street in Madison, I guess, is now going away.
Yes.
Forever.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You talk about fanfare. That's when they should have had the confetti out there. Unbelievable.
When they're all gone, then we'll have a party.
I've looked at that since I was in high school, riding to school with Father Lopez, going up Madison Avenue, wondering how in the world has that been allowed to exist.
Okay.
And it's finally gone.
Good job.
Wow. Anyway, so my point is, you poor inspectors are not appreciated. It's kind of like making your victories are behind the scenes. But there's some who see them and appreciate them. And that just overwhelmed me. All right. Any other business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No.
If not,